is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Circuit to the end of them.
And there is nothing hidden from his feet.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Apostlestide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has set our soul among the living, and has not let our feet slip.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power, that your enemies come.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds for the children of men.
He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot.
There did he rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living, and has not let our feet slip?
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the 6th chapter. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived.
God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And from he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." This is our text. The harvest is plentiful. Another way of saying it is that it's amber waves of grain out there. That's what Jesus said. He wasn't looking out over the Midwest of the United States and seeing the corn and wheat growing. He was talking about all the little towns and villages around Galilee. All the places where people were in need of his salvation. So he appointed 72 and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "Guys, it's amber waves of grain. Get ready, because the harvest is huge. It's time to gather souls. Time to gather souls for the kingdom." And as Jesus is looking out, he sees that Galilee is only just the beginning. He knows that 72 workers, they aren't enough for that little field, much less for all the others. But I don't think the disciples could see it. I don't think they could catch the vision of what Jesus had in mind. They couldn't see when they looked out on the people of their land, the great multitudes that no one could number from every tribe and nation and people and language. But Jesus could see it. He knew that it was a bumper crop everywhere. And so he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." And like me, you're thinking, but he probably wasn't talking about here. I mean, this is New England. This is no Galilee. It's just a bunch of rocky soil here, right? The wind comes through and strips it away, and all you've got is that monadnock on top where nothing can grow. Not in these conditions. The ground's too hard for the seed to penetrate, we think. It'll just get snatched up by the birds. The weeds are too thick. They'll choke out whatever tries to grow. Death and decay in all around I see. So we think that there's not much of a harvest in this place, certainly no harvest of souls, and the statistics don't make us feel any better, because have you seen the statistics about religion in New England? You might be sitting there thinking, have you talked to my family, my friends? This is a wasteland, it's a spiritual desert. Faith just won't grow here. And I want to say, don't be too sure about that. If you look for it and listen for it, I think you may see it sprouting in surprising places from time to time. And yet it may be that that's how it looks to us, but it's not what Jesus sees, and that's what we need to remember. Whatever we may see, whatever we may think about the world around us right now, we need to see it through the eyes of Jesus. And what he sees is amber waves of grain in all our towns, in all our villages. When he told the disciples about the great harvest, he was talking about the whole world. And that means he was talking about our own little corner of the world too. About America the beautiful, and New England and central Massachusetts, and the harvest of souls right here. Right here, Westminster, Fitchburg, Gardner, Princeton, Lunenburg, Leominster, Ashburnham, Winchendon, Athol, Barrie, Hubbardston, your town. Jesus was thinking about that place. Now, one of the things that I find surprising in this reading is that it's a little bit different angle than Jesus takes in some of his other speeches, especially in his parables. When he's talking about the kingdom of God, usually he's talking about planting. You know, he tells the parable about the farmers and seeds and growing plants. Things like, a sower went out to sow. Or, the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. And all of that is true and good, but here it's different. Here, when he sends the 72, he doesn't say that it's time to plant. He doesn't say that it's time to scatter seeds and see what happens. He says that it's time for the harvest. It's time to gather the crop in. The fields are ripe. It's what the prophet Isaiah foresaw. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah was looking at a land of deep darkness, but off in the distance, he saw the light coming. He knew that it would shine first in Galilee and Nazareth. He said, "You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest." Because he knew that a harvest was coming. And then Jesus came. He came to Nazareth in Galilee. You know what they called Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth, not much less any sort of harvest. And yet that's where Jesus came. And he went around all the little towns and villages, and he sent out the 72 to gather in the harvest. Because wherever there are sinners, that's what Jesus sees. We look out at a group of sinners, and what we see are their sins. Jesus looks out at a group of sinners, and he sees a great harvest. We think it's death and decay, but Jesus sees more. Some of you know what this is like out in nature. You might look at the garden and think that it's dead and bare, but then someone comes along who's got a green thumb, and he brings it back to life. Jesus can do that. He can bring life out of a graveyard. Do you remember when he stood by Lazarus's grave? 4 days dead and stinking? He can graft a dead branch onto a vine, and he can get it to bear good fruit. Can you do that? He can. So I would say that when we think about our world, before we question Jesus, we should listen to him and believe what he says. I mean, he's the one who planted Eden in the first place. He's the one who put Adam and Eve there. He's the one who made seed time and harvest. Those were his ideas. And you think he can't do that again? Another garden, another creation, more new life and growth? And fill it with even more people this time, if that's what he wants to do. Because that's what he's doing every time he appoints and sends out workers. Every time he calls people and says, "Look, the harvest is ready," he sends them to gather in the harvest of souls with his salvation. And you know that he can do it. You know that he's more than capable of it. We heard that last week. St. Peter and St. Paul, whom we think of as great saints, before they were great saints, you remember what they were? Great sinners in need of his salvation. And in the Gospels, we read how Jesus went out and he sent his workers and they gathered the harvest right there in Galilee. And you know that he's done it and is doing it now with you as well. He said the harvest was huge. And you had no idea that he meant you, but he did. And he has gathered you in. He is gathering you still with that word of forgiveness and with his holy and precious gifts. He has given them to you, and he has made you part of his harvest field. He's numbered you as part of his crop. He said to you, "You're in my field, and I'll gather you in. Now and to the great harvest that is still to come." And you know there are so many other sinners out there just like us. So many other sinners in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. so many other sinners who may know of their brokenness or who may not know of their brokenness, but who need him. Which is why he told us to pray for more workers. He said, the harvest is huge, but who's going to gather it in? And that's the first thing I would say to us today. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask the Father to help us gather in the harvest. Because I know you see it every single day. Let's pray to the Lord to send more workers and to give us the words to say when we meet those people that we think have no chance. Pray that he would fill our mouths with his word and give to us the good confession to speak the right thing at the right time and in the right place. And let's have our eyes open to look for our Lord to do his work, to gather his harvest in until that harvest is complete. I know that some of you are ready now. Some of you are saying, Pastor, why can't the harvest just be complete and finished and Christ come back today? And the only answer I can give is, I guess he's got more to gather in, more work to be done. So we pray and we look for his work to be done until the barns are full and Christ returns and the joy never ends, the joy of the harvest that will go on forever and ever. Now, of course, another thing in this reading is that it seems impossible to gather a harvest with the instructions that Jesus gives. Did you hear what he said to the 72? Go out there, guys. I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. That sounds like a pretty promising start if you want to get devoured. And then he said things like, don't bring along a money bag or any knapsack or sandals, and don't spend time chit-chatting alongside the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Bring nothing along. It's one of the instructions that amazes me most. What's Jesus thinking? Shouldn't you at least bring along your apologetics text with all the proofs for the existence of God? No formula of words that he gives that's guaranteed to save someone. No going out and avoiding the hard issues or ignoring sin. He just sends them out with his word. And with his promise. One thing that struck me this week is that in some ways these words, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, in some ways, while these words do seem to be instruction for those whom he's sending, they also are instructive for all of us. Why do they not need to bring those things with them? Because Jesus has promised that he will provide and he will take care of him. Carry no money bag doesn't mean that they're going to starve. It means that they're going to be trusting Jesus to provide each and every day. And that's true not only of his called workers in the harvest field, it's true of each and every one of us. Trust me, he says, as I send you out into your life. Trust me to provide and to give and to equip you for the work that I have for you to do. And he sent them out with his word. Just his word. I mean, it doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? The word of Jesus, you know how it is. How easily we can speak a word and it just bounces right off of someone else. But that's what Jesus gives. And you know, his word is not just another word. It's not the word of a mere mortal like you and me. He is God in human flesh. And his word has the authority and the power of God in it. So when we ask, how are we going to bring in the harvest? Jesus says, you're not. Don't worry about it. It's my word that'll do it. Just have it on your lips. Be ready to speak it. And his word did. You heard what the 72 said when they came back. They returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. God's word causes Satan to fall. It binds the demons and makes them subject to Christ. And that is the power of his word that he's given to us. And you know, these same things are still happening, though we may not have noticed it. Every time we have a baptism, and God willing, we'll have another one in the not-so-distant future, every time we have a baptism, the demons flee. They run because the name of Jesus is there, and Satan falls like lightning from heaven. And if you think what those 72 did was something, how about this? In the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, and they're forgiven. And what power does Satan have then? When he wants to throw your sins at you and you can simply say, hey, I'm covered. They're all forgiven. There's the power of our Lord's word as it gathers in the harvest and brings salvation to sinners like you and me and all the others out there. That's the way that Jesus works. And he gave those 72 an amazing promise. He who hears you hears me. He who hears you hears me. It wasn't that Jesus gave them the authority to spout off and say whatever they wanted. No, Jesus sends them to speak his word with the promise that as they speak his word, they are hearing Jesus himself. You can say that when you bring the Bible to someone. Don't take my word for it. Take his. It was our Lord himself going out in the midst of those 72 and with all the laborers into the harvest field, speaking to sinners through the lips of other sinners. And that's what amazes me. He speaks to sinners through the lips of other sinners. I mean, if it were me, I probably would have picked an angel to send. You know, one of the fiery ones with flaming swords. That would get the message across. But sending a sinner, that's what Jesus does. And still we wonder sometimes, can he really do it? How can he bring in a harvest in fields like these? And Jesus says to us, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus is the grain of wheat. He has fallen into the ground and died. And he has done it so that he may bring forth a harvest among us and right here. Not that he would be an earthly grain, but rather for a heavenly one, a harvest for eternity. You might say that our Lord sprouted when he rose again on the third day. He came forth to bear much fruit, to make known the message of his salvation, his triumph over death, his victory over sin, his crushing of the devil. The harvest comes from him, always and only from him. It's his harvest of souls, and not ours. As we come to the end of this beautiful week that we've had, giving thanks to God for our nation, praying for our nation, remembering the liberties and freedoms that he's given us, and entrusting ourselves into his hands, it's clear that he's given us another task as well, to pray just as he commanded us. So it's time for us to pray. To pray for more laborers to come into the harvest field, for more people who will proclaim God's salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, people who will say, the grain of wheat fell into the earth and died, but now he's risen and comes right here, through this water and this bread and wine and through sinners like us, that we might be gathered into his harvest forever. In America the Beautiful, we sing, God shed his grace on thee. But do we know what we're saying when we sing those words and how true it is? We think that the grace of God on America is the gift of our beautiful land, but that's not it at all. It's so much more. The grace of God for us is his own beloved Son. And not only for us, but for the entire world. And we need him, and he has come, and he comes to us still, that we might belong to him forever. So pray and rejoice in the harvest, and know that he who planted the seed will bring the harvest to completion, and he'll do it in his way. He'll send more laborers and more workers. He'll send you and put you into positions and situations where the only thing you can do is confess your faith and speak his name. What we may think of as a dead land, our Lord says, is ripe for the picking. And that's the truth, straight from him. So go about your daily lives, seeing the world the way that Jesus has given us to see it, seeing the harvest that is there, knowing his love for sinners like us, and then sharing that love with sinners like us. Because there are amber waves of grain, and we're standing right in the middle of it. And even if we can't see it, Jesus can, and he will gather in his crop. The day will come when the harvest will be completed. The day will come when our Lord will return visibly so that we will see him with our own eyes. The day will come when we will know that multitude gathered in from every corner of the earth. And we're going to have the greatest harvest celebration ever. Because our Lord is doing that work in Galilee, in New England. And he's doing it to the end of time. In Jesus' name. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
For the thanksgiving sacrifice on call in the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send laborers into your harvest field and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in every tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth and bring an end to violence and terror. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places and among all people, especially among those who are most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Rachel and Rachel, and give them, their husbands, and their other children great joy at the time of birth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Grant your mercy especially to the people of Texas and the families and rescue workers searching for the children of Camp Mystic. Preserve life, we pray. Grant your peace and restore what is lost. And we pray that you would protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. We commend into your hands Joan and all who stand at death's door. Grant peace and hope to Eric and his family. Have compassion upon our brother Dave, strengthen his body, and guide him and Janet through his upcoming appointments. Look with mercy upon Richard, who is hospitalized, as well as Dave, Alicia, Gwen, Rick, Carol, John, and Dorothy's father, Joe. And thank you for hearing our prayers on behalf of Anne's neighbor, Donna. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be with also our sister Joyce as she undergoes testing this week, and hold her in your hands, Lord, in your mercy. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service, Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servants Isaiah, Peter, and Paul, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Lord.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today is Psalm 66, starting at the 10th verse. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads and went through the fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered, my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer your burnt offerings of fattened animals, with the smoke of the sacrifice of the rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
The Lord. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.